right, here we go. Best threesome ever. I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin.
And here we go. Episode 9? 10.
11?
9. No, we're on 9.
We're on 9.
9, sorry.
Depends on which numbering process you're using.
Right, we're on 9.
9.37.
So we got quite a few things to talk about. We're going to talk about some basic things beforehand, and then
some basic bitches.
Yeah, and then we're going to I think we're going to end with the majority of the broadcast talking about the Bat versus Superman. And so, spoiler alerts: if you haven't seen the movie yet, then don't listen to this podcast until after you've seen the movie.
I think Nick and I are on the same page here. Not if you haven't seen the movie, go see it. Just if you haven't seen the movie, maybe you should stop listening.
No, it's fine.
Unless you don't plan on seeing it, you don't give a shit about spoilers, or want to know our opinions and don't give a shit about spoilers before you see it, because we will coerce you, you fucking lemming.
Yep, absolutely. We will.
I used to like that game, Lemmings.
That was a great game.
God, I love that game.
Ugh.
It was such. It would like you spend like 6 hours playing it. And you swear to God, you're only playing it for like 30 minutes, and you're only on one level because you're like, "What the? I can't get the Lemmings to do what I want them to do."
I did the same thing with like, not Diablo, but the other Diablo-like games. Right now, I'm playing through a game called Torchlight 2, which is very Diablo-like and
dungeon crawler kind of. Yeah,
dungeon crawler, and the same idea.
Path of Exile for me is my current Diablo-like game.
Okay,
It is free on Steam, and I highly, highly suggest it.
It's funny. I don't like Diablo, but everything like Diablo is, from what I've found, is pretty good.
The very first Sacred game. The second one, eh. The third one, kill me.
Do you remember Fate?
Of course. Yes.
Yeah, Fate was another one of those, and I liked Fate a lot.
I do have to say, recently I upgraded. I did finally get my PS4. I got rid of my PS3, got my PS4.
We'll have to add each other on PSN and maybe play a little DC Universe online.
Yeah.
It's stupid, but it's fun.
I got, right now I just got Battlefront and obviously Division. I've been playing the shit out of Battlefront.
You guys can do that, and I'm going to keep playing my PC.
See, in Battlefront, I play on the Xbox, and Division, I play on the goddamn PC.
But maybe when that new...
play Destiny on PS4, get Destiny.
But there's that new the new server that's coming up that supposedly it's going to be able to cross over between Xbox and PlayStation, where you can, no matter which one you play, that you can, and I don't know the name of the system, I'm sorry, but where you can play cross...
This is platform Division, right?
That sounds familiar. I'd have to read the article again, but I can't remember who it was.
I think they're going to try and implement it in more than just the one game.
But they're going to do like a pilot program on.
Yeah. I think Division is going to be there.
If I read the article correctly, I believe it's a whole separate thing. So you have Xbox, their server on one side. You have PlayStation server on the other side, and they're a whole separate server that you would just log into their server and be able to cross. Versus trying to cross the two because
you can't cross the streams?
The first cross-platform online game was back on the original Xbox and PlayStation 2, I believe.
What was that?
What was it?
It was called, or maybe it was 360. Maybe it was 360 and Xbox One. Anyway, it was called Shadowrun. Based on the tabletop role-playing game, and it was the worst thing to ever happen.
It was a horrible, horrible fucking game. I love the role-playing, the tabletop game, because I played that. But that... The video game, when I was super excited about the video game, played it and was like, "What the what is this shit? What the crap?"
It was horse balls.
Oh, it was horrible.
But yeah, so
one correction. I just want to make a correction from the character I couldn't think of from the last episode, the Asian female from Orange Is the New Black. Kimiko Glenn. Kimiko Glenn is her name. Kimiko Glenn. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I'm familiar with her.
Who plays the little sunshiny one? Who
becomes. Yes. Yeah. Looks amazing.
I like the way she's put together.
Right. And then the other thing I wanted to mention, we actually don't talk about this show much, but we've talked about the strong women and what we want more of. So Walking Dead recently in episode 6, I'm not going to give away the episode, but I'm just going to talk a little
bit
about
it. Thank you, because I'm super not
caught up. No.
Yeah, me neither.
So episode season 6, episode 13, it's called The Same Boat. It's all female. It's Carol and Maggie. And some other female characters.
My future ex-wife, Michonne?
No.
Damn it.
But it's that. I don't want to say too much about it because I don't want to give it away. But they're in a circumstance.
It's because Michonne's dead.
They're in a circumstance. And this episode was it was amazing. Like,
Nick didn't deny that.
I didn't hear what he said.
Because Michonne's dead.
No. But this show was just that episode was 100% amazing. The Melissa McBride in this, like, roller coaster of acting ability in this, whether you think she's crazy, is she playing a part, is she just being strong, is she being whatever. But the sum of the whole thing was, don't piss the women off because they'll fucking kick your ass, especially Carol.
Carol.
You screwed it up.
Because you messed me up with your goofiness.
So, and Carol, like, you know, she's got that, definitely got that motherly instinct still there. And Carol, it was right along the, you know, I saw it, watched this episode, and I'm like, I could watch a whole season of this because it was just that good.
Wanted to throw that out there.
And that's, you know, I really like Carol on that show. She's, I'm still way behind both of you, and I know it.
I haven't seen any of season 6 yet.
You're up past season 5.
But I am past season 5, yeah.
Okay.
So you've seen season 5. In season 3.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
At least you're in season 3 and not that god-awful season 2.
Carol becomes, like, Melissa McBride is amazing. Like, just the...
Yeah. Even by season 3, she's already started. And I know...
It gets better.
Oh, she's a hardcore bitch. I love her.
She becomes just
the baller. And again, without giving away too much, the whole Terminus thing and Carol, and that was amazeballs.
I fuck around.
I don't know what that means.
You will.
Can I eat my fry?
Keep watching. No.
Son of a bitch.
Speaking of women that kick ass, so apparently Daisy Ridley is...
Daisy Ridley. See, when you said it in our chat, I thought that was just autocorrect.
Yeah, me
changing
too.
It to Riddle, I didn't think you were actually going to come on the show and say Daisy Ridley. So Daisy Ridley. Yeah.
Ridley.
And her shared cousin with Voldemort, Daisy Ridley.
You're
see what you did there.
It was good.
Fine. Daisy Ridley. Apparently set to play Laura Croft.
Which I am A-okay with.
Yeah.
Me too.
Very, I mean, they said they were going to find a...
She looks a lot like the new version of Lara from the reboot games. So I am all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she looks good. And I think she'll do pretty well.
She doesn't have to fake an English accent.
She doesn't.
True.
Like Angelina Jolie.
But then every time...
She wasn't terrible.
No, you know, as far as video game movies go, people shit on that one, but I think, and as low of a bar as it is, one of the better ones.
Tomb Raider Cradle of Life was awful, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was horseshit. Not even Gerard Butler and his sexiness could save that movie.
Never mind.
Let it go.
And then, I think
real popular opinion, Gerard Butler is an ugly piece of ass.
That would be an unpopular opinion.
It would be.
I think he's very hunky.
I think he is too. Kind of have a man crush, a little bit.
I mean, he's no Orlando Bloom.
No.
I think, thank God, he doesn't shave that awful scrotum hair off his face, because then you get the ugliness underneath.
Is that why you don't shave your beard?
Yes.
100%.
Yep.
It's awful.
Sorry, Rob. Call me bald. I'll call you ugly underneath that goatee.
That's fair.
And then
what do we do for Kevin? Oh, wait, fat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now.
Sorry.
Come on.
I can't.
Get your head in the game.
I can't
I don't know why I thought about that.
I can't throw too many stones at the fat thing, because I'm not exactly a skinny person either.
Yeah, but you're... All right.
I'm not.
No, but our sizes also are in direct correlation of our level of like of the Batman versus Superman movie, so it's rather perfect.
Right, well, that is true.
You're saying that is true. Guys hate Batman v Superman?
I just mean of the three of us. It directly...
No, but it does. But me being the skinny guy here, skinniest.
I'm not saying skinny guys, I'm just saying you.
Yeah, I know.
Graham's big and he hated it.
Good.
Yeah, I saw your thing on Facebook.
So then does his vote count for two?
No. Sure. Why not?
Anyway.
He double hated it.
But
we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. I think we wanted to talk about, we've talked about, you know, Civil War coming up, and we didn't really talk about
being able to see that new Spider-Man trailer on the big screen.
Yeah, it was awesome, right?
Yeah.
Actually, when I saw Batman vs. Superman, we didn't get trailers. We just went right to the movie.
Really?
Although we had
I suppose because you went to a pre-screen.
I did. Yeah. We did. And then Zack Snyder. Well, we got Zack Snyder coming on going, "Hi, I'm Zack Snyder. I know you've seen this movie early, but don't spoil it. Don't go down to social media and spoil it for anybody." I'm like, what are you going to do if we do? You can't. I mean, we're not signing any legal contract saying that we can't.
Right?
I don't think
you're
just
a talking head on a screen. Go fuck yourself, Zack Snyder.
Oh, my God.
That's generally my opinion on Zack Snyder, though.
But anyways, we'll get
to it. I know, right?
But my point was is that we never really talked about, you know, what side of that Civil War are we on, you know, if we... were somehow a part of that.
I remember when I read the Civil War comics, I was very firmly Team Cap because I was all about, you know, no Superman, or sorry, not Superman, superheroes should be allowed to do what they do without oversight because they're not. What kind of oversight can you give them in the first place?
I was kind of pro-choice about it. If you want to be on a government team, be on a government team.
Yeah, yeah.
But right. It should be your choice.
There's a certain level of, yes, maybe they should perhaps report to the local government, but don't have a nationwide, you know, registration.
Yeah, and
which
if,
is, you know...
And like also, time, you should respect the local authority, too.
Right.
Yeah. You respond to the, you know, if the police is okay with you doing what you're doing, then,
yeah.
then you're well within your rights.
Absolutely.
Well,
but there shouldn't be, like, a national registration thing. And I was very firmly Team Cap in that. But with... Sorry, Kevin's eating a fry very strangely. It's
the most uncomfortable thing you've ever seen
and heard.
Maybe we'll post a video.
No. Maybe. But with the trailers and with the way the MCU is gone, I think I'm at least mostly, if not all, in Tony Stark's camp on this, because you watch the films and you look at it and you just think about it and you go, okay, you can see the amount of destruction that these guys have caused without oversight.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that, and you also know, like, you've got the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. out there. You've got this small ragtag team that, in my opinion, would do a hell of a lot better than the governmental oversight that was in the comic books. And there's good precedence to have them be registered. I think it's there's very, very good reasons, because at this point, it looks more in the MCU. It looks more like terrorists fighting terrorists.
I get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
and
I
it's
think,
also hard not to be charmed by Tony Stark, especially on social media right now. Because right. God damn it, he is an American darling.
Yeah, he is.
And we're wearing the same hat.
I know. Also, Robert Downey Jr. is an American darling after being like the greatest coked out washed up actor.
Right.
If I could ever go back in time and tell him, buddy, it's gonna get better.
Right.
You got this.
Right. Yeah, and it's the best like Hollywood turnaround story ever, right? It would tell
you. Oh yeah. It's one of the best one of them. Anyways. Yeah. I think there's only a couple that are better. I think Mickey Rourke's is really good.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, Mickey yeah. Rourke's is very good. Drew Barrymore for
Drew
sure.
Barry. Oh yeah. I forgot about yeah. Drew Barrymore, yeah. There's a couple really solid, you know, sober up stories
yeah.
in Hollywood, but Robert Downey Jr. by far is the most charming.
Right.
But it's that smile.
It is.
And those eyes.
Personality. And he can sing.
I could get lost.
If you haven't seen him.
So I take it that's your John Stamos. Every guy has a John Stamos.
It's true.
That's the guy he would.
My John Stamos is Robert Downey Jr. Absolutely.
My John Stamos is Orlando Bloom. With the caveat, he has to be in the Legolas.
Nerd.
In that, he is prettier than most girls.
Yeah.
Fact.
And
it's true.
And for Robert Downey Jr., my caveat would be he has to have the Tony Stark beard.
Oh, yeah.
From the first film.
Yeah.
Which,
without a doubt.
I don't
where
know.
It was like those super sharp corners.
I never gave it a lot of thought, but mine might have to be Gary Oldman. I just love the man.
Ooh,
I love,
fair.
I love me Gary Oldman.
You
Gary
like
Oldman
your, you now, like your dilfs. Like, I get it.
A little bit.
Gary Oldman now, though, or would you pick Gary Oldman from like Sid and Nancy? Because Sid and Nancy, Gary Oldman, I get.
I'm gonna go
weirdly
somewhere
attractive.
between Dracula and Fifth Element.
Oh, okay.
Gary Oldman.
No, that's fair too.
I think I'm gonna go with that.
If you haven't seen Sid and Nancy, you should.
It's good.
An amazing film.
Very good.
But Gary Oldman in that is weirdly attractive as Sid Vicious.
It's true. It's a fact.
He's gorgeous and everything.
Somehow he made heroin chic look really sexy. I have said before, and I'll say it again, I don't like Kate Moss. She's ugly to me.
Not a big fan of Kate Moss.
And maybe some of that is from the fact that she looks like heroin chic.
Well, it's probably why she was casting that.
Well, yeah, maybe.
She just doesn't seem very nice.
Also that...
like, you can be, like, crazy crazy skinny and still be attractive. I mean, Daisy Ridley is very skinny, and I'm sorry that she had to defend that.
Yeah.
But she seems like the world's most approachable hot girl on Earth, and that makes her more attractive.
Yeah.
And she gave the most adorable little rejection letter. Somebody asked, you know, somebody did one of those celebrity ask out to prom things.
Oh.
And she, if you haven't seen it, she wrote back, and it was on, I think it was through Twitter, I want to say, or Instagram, one of those two.
Okay.
And he made like this adorable little video like, oh, I'm going to prom and blah, blah, blah. Would you go to prom with me? And she was like, she sent, it's just a photo and a letter that she wrote, hand wrote, that was like, I'm sorry, but I'm currently fighting Luke Skywalker in a non-verbal fight in a galaxy far, far away. So I'm sorry I can't make it to your prom. Nice. It doesn't fit my schedule. And I was like, that's just awesome.
That's awesome and classy.
Yeah. I think maybe it was a fighting Luke Skywalker in a staring contest. I think I'll also find funny. It and I'll post the photo. Yeah. But
so basically she was too busy filming Star Wars.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
She's going to be doing that for quite some time.
Well, good for her, though. And good for us, because I can definitely keep seeing some more.
Right? More Daisy Ridley? Yes. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going to go with Daisy Riddle. I'm just going to keep calling her Daisy Riddle. I don't care.
Sounds awful and insulting to the person in question.
Yeah. Because she's...
Can I call her...
For me, she's my new Jennifer Lawrence.
Can I call her Daisy Ridley Scott, then?
No.
Kevin's giving me this very deadpan look right now.
Is that your death stare?
Though she might, no, she might have to do battle with Tulip Samus Aran. Ridley was the main villain in the Metroid video games.
I
know.
Well, I mean, I suppose besides the mother Metroid, but still,
yeah,
he was the big one.
Well, yeah, Ridley was also the heroine in Alien.
That was Ripley.
Oh, damn. I'm sorry.
I was like, that was not... I
one letter off. It's
cool. I would have said that sooner, but I was chewing a... Whatever those are called. Jelly bean. Stupid Easter candy. Anyways, Team Tony, Team Cat.
Still Team Cat.
Yeah.
And I think that's because I've always been a Captain America fan. It's hard to turn back. I can freely admit, and I'll kind of get into this later, while obviously knowing Tony Stark, following his adventures when it came to the Avengers, as far as a solo property, I didn't follow him much.
Oh, I did.
Like, I watched the cartoon back in the mid-90s, but Iron Man was never, like, my guy. But I always loved Captain America. And so it's kind of hard to turn my back on that, even though you do make very good points how the feel of the reason behind the superhuman registration.
Yeah.
Is a lot different in the movies than it was in the comics.
Yeah, I think there's actually, for coming up with, oh my god, words, edit all that out, shit.
nope, keep it in.
Keep it, cut, print.
Cut, print, good. Next.
I think the reasoning behind why everyone is on the side that they are in the movie versus the comic is very different, and I think... In the comics, I felt like it was very strongly suggested that the reader should feel strongly about Cap's side and not Tony's. But from what I've seen of these trailers, I'm like, you know, I think they're actually trying to get the audience to decide for themselves for once.
Right, and that's actually something Graham and I talked about, is we're a little disappointed that it's Captain America Civil War and not Avengers Civil War, because it automatically puts you at the predisposition to be on Captain America's side, because it's his movie.
Mm-hmm. It is his movie, but, you know, I like the idea of Captain America being wrong.
And that was kind of close to my argument, is like, you know, it's there just because it's, and it's, while it's true that they are putting you at that predetermination, you still have the opportunity to go, Tony Stark kind of has a point. Yeah. And it's hard to argue with Vision, a person right. who's so just pure of
any kind of
reason.
Yeah.
But at the same time, again, Captain America has a Scarlet Witch, and I'm in love with her, so...
Right, but Tony does have one other point on his side. Underoos.
It's true. But he did in the beginning of Civil War, and he lost him later in Civil War.
That's true. In the comic book, Spider-Man was like the linchpin for the storyline, really. He was the guy that, you know, he comes out and is just you know, he's on Tony's team so much that he takes off his mask, something that Spider-Man had never done before. Thank God. Which I loved. And I'm wondering how they're going to pull that off in this one.
Since you're just being introduced to the character.
Since you're just being introduced to the character.
I mean, not to the... In the grand scheme of things, everybody knows Spider-Man. But I mean, the world is being introduced to him. He had a mild mention in Ant-Man, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. So, you know, he takes off the mask in the comics and then sees sort of the error of his own ways and goes, oh, that's you guys, because in the comics, Tony's team takes drastic measures to start enforcing the registration, and so much that they get supervillains to start capturing superheroes that they start.
In the comics, Tony is a gigantic cock.
Yeah.
He sucks.
Oh, he sucks so hard.
What?
More than that, like, you find out later that he was essentially a war profiteer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, and he's mentioned that in the movies before about...
Well, yeah. But in...
Well, he tried to be an anti-war profiteer, but...
Yes, but in the main storyline of Iron Man in the MCU, that first movie, he is clearly, you know, he sells weapons to the government, and he makes no bones about it. He practically says, yep, war profiteer, I'm okay with it. And then he has his accident, and he goes through all of that. And you see the personality shift into from Tony Stark to Iron Man. And suddenly he's very against war and big government military. And it carries through to Iron Man 2 and a little bit into Iron Man 3, in which every time he's fighting, his villain is almost always some sort of paramilitary or some sort of military project or some sort of project that wants to be a part of the military.
Mm. Growing up, I didn't read the Civil War comic strip part. I think that was kind of the part where I got into a lot of Punisher, so I was reading a lot of Punisher, mm-hmm. and of course to keep up with war, you know, Warzone and or the War Journal and Warzone and his Armory comics, and then I think at that point I was getting kind of frustrated because that's also when they started doing like X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, X-Men, mm-hmm. Ultimate X-Men, and just it blew up into this thing and I just got annoyed with it. So I just kind of stopped reading. And I think that was, I want to say that was around the time Civil War came about.
Civil War came around 2006.
And Uncanny, the whole X-Men boom came way, like, mid-90s, way before that.
Late 80s.
I can't remember. Mm. Okay. Well, then I wasn't reading, I kind of fell off the bandwagon of reading comics. Okay. So I never really read the Civil War. That's why I was kind of curious. Why does it specifically have to be a Captain? Why did it have to be a Captain America Civil War versus just being Civil War?
I think the reason why they didn't want to do it as like an Avengers movie or a Marvel movie is because they really wanted the tension was built. The tension was building to it. They needed closure on.
They needed closure on Bucky's storyline.
They needed closure on Captain America's adventure with being the army poster boy to completely 100% not trusting the government and tinfoil,
tinfoil hat and everything.
And I think a lot of it circles also in that same aspect. A lot of it circles around, you know, like you were just saying, with S.H.I.E.L.D. falling apart. And yes, there are sirens going off. It's a Wednesday, Saturday. I don't know. Whatever day.
That's the point. It's not a Wednesday. Are we going to die?
Probably.
Maybe. It's possible.
Cool.
All right.
Anyway.
Best podcast ever.
Oh.
This has been last threesome ever.
The bombs start raining in.
Well, if it's the last one, why are we so clothed? I always forget your nipples are piercing.
Oh, mercy.
Going from Kevin's pierced nipples back to Captain Ver.
No. I think we should talk more about Kevin's pierced nipples.
Those are clearly similar.
Very. Yeah. Iron Man pierced nipples.
But yeah. Right. So,
does that make Kevin Iron Man?
No, Steel. They'd be Steel.
Oh, he'd be the Man of Steel.
He would be the Man of Steel. But that that's his inner dilemma is that Batman and Man of Steel, but he's not really all steel. So I mean, it's just nipples. If he had more.
Like, no, because I'm definitely more Batman, because with the Batman's working out montage, I have to work out so much I even carry barbells in my nips.
There you go. He's got a point.
Boom.
Although, I saw a meme somewhere where somebody said that Batman and Daredevil are misnamed because Daredevil should be Batman because of the way that he
sees
and Batman should be Daredevil.
Yeah.
While I agree, I also vehemently disagree because it's stupid.
Well, I agree with you.
And also because, you know, reasons.
Right. We can talk
about it. But Daredevil is a cool power, a blind guy who can see.
Let's right. talk about that for a minute.
Do we want to talk about that, or do we want to save that for a whole separate podcast?
Well, have you guys seen season two yet?
I've seen
I'm halfway through.
Okay, so we'll save it. We'll save it. We'll save the Daredevil season two for the next.
Because I have to wait for Crystal, and God damn it, she falls asleep so early. Yeah, I'm talking to you, lady. Because I know you're listening.
Does she listen?
Doesn't listen at
yeah,
all.
She does.
Oh, she does?
Every week.
Aw.
Yeah.
Thanks, Crystal. We love you.
Thank you, Crystal.
Give you an extra special hug for that.
How dare, fuck you, Crystal, for not letting Kevin watch the rest of Daredevil.
I didn't say that.
In her defense, we are trying to power through the Shannara Chronicles while I still have access to that MTV crap.
Oh, okay, sure. Sure. That's fair.
All right. Which I should cancel because I think it's going to be through tomorrow.
Yeah. But okay, real quick about Daredevil, though, I want to say, how did you guys feel about John Bernthal as?
Oh, God, he is...
We'll definitely get to this in a later episode.
We will. We'll get to this in probably next episode. But
I do want to
goddamn revelation.
I have to say, being a huge Punisher fan, he's perfect. I mean, he's way better than I ever thought he would be. He is because I've seen him in Walking Dead. I've seen him in the movie Fury. And he just kind of, I always just kind of pictured him as not necessarily his southern accent.
In How I Met Your Mother, like episode
right,
two
yep.
or three.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right.
We'll cover this again, so I'll probably repeat myself, but it's perfect. He's perfect. Absolutely perfect. He nails it. He goes the emotion, the I'm a badass to I do actually have a soft spot. And
the gravestone scene.
Oh, yes.
He needs every Emmy that's ever
Are you
happened.
Kidding me? And then I don't know if you catch it, but in the gravestone, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, but Daredevil is crying, and you can see the tears going down his face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was intentional like they were supposed to because he's not crying in the next scene, but he's like there's tears coming down from underneath that mask.
That's very cool.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Even the roof, the scene, I think it's the same episode, but the roof scene with him and Daredevil.
It's a different episode.
Right.
Yeah, it is. It's the episode before, but it's.
But it. But I'm saying it's
connecting episode.
Building. Yeah.
The chains and. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it only gets better. I mean, the rest of the season, it gets better and it gets. I was very confused, but we'll talk about this later. But yeah,
right.
But
sexually, about your new feelings towards John Bernthal.
Oh, he's definitely approaching the top five.
Is he approaching your John Stamos?
Yes. Not quite there yet. He hasn't. No. I mean, he hasn't quite.
No, he doesn't have a body of work.
He's not right, and he's not one of those actors that can.
But he knows how to work that body.
He's not one of those actors that can disappear like in a movie like Gary Oldman, and I don't mean that as a bad way. But Gary Oldman
kills Rob.
Gary Oldman is so many different characters that he just, you forget that he was in certain movies.
Kevin did a dance.
Kevin does a lot of dances, though. I guess I'm just used to him. Work with him too much, and you get used to the dances.
Yeah, but it was definitely, it was that moment of you dancing where you crossed from your normal white guy dance to you had rhythm suddenly, and it was awesome.
Because I'm fat, people forget I'm actually a good dancer.
Yeah.
Well,
no, you're actually an excellent dancer. It's just,
I forget it
because you're so damn white.
I am.
They assume that you're fat.
Super white.
They assume because you're fat and white that you can't dance, but I as well, I would say a good dancer.
I am terrible.
Oh, I'm
terrible
good.
Terrible dancer.
I dance, theater, dance.
Yeah, that's about it. There's a disconnect for me between theater dancing and, club dancing.
No, I did actual dance.
That
if doing the world's laziest robot was your club dancing, then I want to go to a club with you.
Oh my god, yeah.
We can go do the lazy robot?
Yes.
I think it'd be the broken robot.
No, it's the lazy robot.
Oh, okay.
It's the half-assed robot.
It's the white robot?
The white robot.
Well, we'll talk about Daredevil Punisher more in probably the next episode.
Yeah.
So it gives Kevin time to
We need to get to
We do need to get to the big white elephant in the room.
Here we go.
So here we go.
I have opted to go last.
I want to give my summary, and then I will broaden it as the conversation goes.
I think Nick should go first because I think we've agreed that Nick is probably the more temperate answer to.
I have the. I like to call mine the. I almost called it said Gene Roddenberry. The Gene Siskel, the Ebert
Siskel
approach.
And Ebert.
Ebert, but Ebert was what I liked about Ebert was that he would look at a movie for what it was and wouldn't just go, oh my god, this movie sucked or this movie was horrible or whatever. He would look at a movie and go, this is the type of movie it is. It's in this genre. It's it's with these actors and I expect this from them. And did they deliver it or did they not? And so that's kind of how I went into this movie, kind of open minded, saying I'm not expecting much. So this is my basic summary. overall, I was not impressed with the movie. I felt that, and Kevin and I talked about this briefly, very briefly.
We touched what now?
We touched each other very briefly. I don't know, a little something.
Only brief? Oh, I'm disappointed in you,
too. Once little baby steps.
Baby steps?
Baby steps. So overall, was not overly impressed with the movie. I thought that there were a lot of plot holes in the movie that were not answered. Mainly that there was... I kind of left a lot more confused with that movie, going, what the hell was this scene? What the hell was that about? Why is this going on? And I kept asking those questions through the movie, and they never got resolved. And I understand they will probably get resolved in another movie, but you should at least touch on it a little bit in the same movie. I thought Ben Affleck actually did an amazing job as Batman. I felt Jeremy Irons, like we talked about, we want more and more of Jeremy Irons as Alfred. I did love how they explained why Batman talks differently. He's got that voice modulator.
Very cool, and I want one.
And thank you for taking a cue from the CW.
Right. Series. For two seconds, that's all he needed to do to explain it. Go, okay, that's why Batman talks differently. He's got a voice modulator.
Yeah,
all right,
brilliant.
Got it. Brilliant. Super simple, super explains it. I thought Superman was way too angry in this entire fucking movie. Like, he was just angry the entire time, like a teenaged angst individual. I enjoyed the ending. I enjoyed the fight scenes. I enjoyed Wonder Woman. Thought she was amazeballs. Absolutely fucking killed it, nailed it. The previews of The Flash and Aquaman and Cyborg. They made this big deal about it, but then they were just in it for like 30 seconds.
I have an analogy to make about that, but I'll let you finish first.
I enjoyed the fight scenes. I thought they were good. Thought they were very well done. I didn't understand why Bruce Wayne at the beginning was driving a car with an amber light bar on it.
Well, I explained my
you
thought.
Did. You did. And I understand he probably stole it, and I agree with you, but...
Why do you think... Oh, because he stole it?
Yeah, I think it was just there, and he saw that stuff was exploding, and...
He just stole a car.
But yeah, he went into Batman mode. It's like, I got to get there as quickly as I can.
But there was nothing on the side of the car that said what it was. Like, was it like a... If it said, like, you know, boat security or, you know, harbor security or something like that, I get it. You'd be like, oh, it's a security vehicle. Didn't say anything.
I think it may have even been his personal security vehicle. Like, the one that, like, that a bodyguard would drive.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, but he's never seen...
First and foremost, Bruce Wayne.
Never seen with bodyguards, though. Is he? I don't know. I just felt...
Like,
And I thought...
Because at this point, he was sort of a... Currently in retirement, very much doing the rich CEO thing.
Yeah. Right. And I felt maybe that the parts that I didn't understand were in either a comic or a video game that I didn't play, and that's I was kind of frustrated by that, but I don't know. But we talked about some of it, and it's just that not even you, Kevin, know why, like, Wayne Manor was destroyed and it was just sitting there, but we might find out later. But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of my basic... There's probably more to it, but we'll get into it, but... Point blank, and I saw it on Tuesday before at a very special screening. I felt it was too jumpy, like it was a bad Tarantino movie.
Although I will say, I actually really enjoyed Lakeside Wayne Manor.
Oh, right?
Oh, I did.
Can I have one?
Yeah, I want one.
Oh, God, beautiful.
Like, I would like a Lakeside Wayne Manor. That was nice.
I just wanted
a
bedroom.
It was like a more, I don't want to say rustic, because obviously it wasn't rustic, it was a more down-to-earth version of Tony's joint.
Right,
the one he has off the coast of LA.
Right, yeah, it's like right next door to his Wayne Manor.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think having the more modern version of Wayne Manor is nice. I liked it. I liked it a lot, actually.
I didn't mind it. I just didn't understand why
that he brought home a random sleut.
I did enjoy that, but more I enjoyed that the entrance to the Batcave was in the lake.
Yeah.
That was very, very cool, and I'm still trying to figure out the physics on that, but that's okay.
I just love that he went into it in that jank-ass busted-up Batmobile.
That was a little strange.
Coming in sputtering. I got this. I'm not worried.
The entire time he's in there going, you can make it, you can make it, just a little longer, a little longer. Yeah.
Come on, baby, come on, baby, come on, baby, come on.
Nailed it.
Rob has a page of notes.
I do have a page of notes.
By all means.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Okay, I hated this movie. I knew I was going to hate the movie, too, but...
And that's the problem. But continue.
No, okay.
No, that's the problem, but continue.
Continue.
You're
just
right.
Go.
You're right. It is the problem. I mean, I knew I was going to hate the movie, and so I was not disappointed. So I actually walked in, I think, with a little clearer head than I expected to, in that I knew I was going to hate it, but I didn't pay for the ticket, so hell, I was going to have fun and make fun of it the whole fucking time. So, I have a page of notes here. I did not like the plot. Like, I didn't feel like there was one. For the first 45 minutes, it's the world's worst game of find a needle in the haystack. Let's see, what else my notes here? Lex is crazy and not in a good way.
Right.
I did not like...
I thought he was a little bit too over the top.
Jesse Eisenberg doing verse is stupid.
I felt like he was trying to do like a Joker type, and it didn't work for me. To me, Lex Luthor is a brilliant, although be it crazy, but he can hold it together better than most.
Here's the thing. I thought we were getting Lex Luthor, not Etrigan the Demon.
Although I did like
right. That poll just happened.
It did happen. I did like how they kind of preceded him with about his father, and that's where he came. That's explained his age. And I appreciate, as a fan going, why the fuck is he so young? I appreciated it going, all right, I can accept that. I can accept that he's younger.
Does that mean this is Alexander Luthor and not...
It was Alexander Luthor.
It was Alexander Luthor. Oh, he referred to his father as Lex Luthor.
Yeah, he was referred to as Alexander.
All right. I missed that.
He said, my father was the Lex and Lex Corp.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So I missed that completely. Okay,
they said his name like 20 times, but that's okay.
So then if he's Alexander Luthor, then why the fuck did we call him Lex Luthor? Like, he was supposed to be Lex Luthor, the evil, the super bad guy, supervillain's arch nemesis.
I think they're going somewhere with it, and I don't know where, and I also am annoyed at the mystery of that one, but there are also a lot of other mysteries that may have annoyed Nick annoy me, because I can put those away.
No. I was just curious. Did anybody else see that when Lex Luthor was put in jail, his number was 16TK... 421.
It was not. It was TK like 116.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It was 427. And the one that I saw was four.
It was TK 421. You mean?
Yes.
I don't think it was.
Yes, it was.
True. I don't think it was.
It was because me and the guy that I went to go see it with, Lee, he saw it too, and he's like, "Did you catch the number?" And I go, "Yeah."
Because I was staring.
And I'm like, "Why the? Maybe I saw a different version, but it was TK 421." And I'm like, "Why is it TK 421? What does this have to do with Star Wars?"
Yeah.
But keep going, sorry, go.
And my other thing was about Lex is, at the end of the film, they finally shave him, and I swear to God, in the middle of the theater, everyone else is quiet, and I just, in full voice, I went, finally! and also, do they shave you when you go to prison now? Is that a thing?
Maybe he had lice.
Maybe he had lice, but I don't know, maybe the guards get off on that or something? Whatever. My next one is, Martha is what changed Batman's mind? He's about to fucking kill this guy who he's had just a massive hate crush on the whole movie. He's ready to just murder-cate the fuck out of Superman with his kryptonite spear, and suddenly Superman goes, save Martha. And Batman goes, wait, Martha, but that's my mom's name! And suddenly they're besties? What the fuck? That turnaround was too quick for me.
That wasn't the turnaround. That was what made him pause. Well, the turnaround was Lois.
I still felt like it was just too quick of a turnaround.
I actually think there were a lot of things that were too quick in this movie that I think were because of so much had to get cut. And I think a lot of it suffered because of that. Mm-hmm. A lot of it seemed like things I'm like, I don't feel like that's where he wanted to cut originally.
Right. My next thing is I enjoyed how Zack Snyder went and stole footage from Lord of the Rings when Doomsday pops out for the first time. They have a cave troll.
You're a little bit.
Up. Yeah,
a little bit, yeah.
I know I'm not wrong on that.
You're not wrong on that.
No,
but
that's
petty. That's a little petty.
And you're not the first person to make that comment, but yeah.
Right. Also, I think I counted three, but maybe there are more. But three times they said, and I'm paraphrasing here, so they didn't exactly say this, but they said some form of the phrase, oh, don't worry, it's uninhabited. Like they were trying to save their own asses from Man of Steel, where they killed a load of people. And now in this movie they said, like,
I only heard it once,
I counted at least three.
I only heard the once, and that was just Batman. That was Batman saying it because he's the one who picked the location because he was the one who was most mad about how many people died.
Right, but then the newscaster also says it as they're panning through. They're like, Metropolis is quite uninhabited at this time of night.
Well, and because
so
many people bitched about it that they felt the need to really
They really pounded it home that no, don't worry, we're not killing a bunch of random people, and which seemed rather disjointed.
Dragon Ball Z convenient.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z convenient. Although I would have been perfectly okay if they had dragged Doomsday off to some remote countryside. I would have been actually fine with that.
I also didn't like how Metropolis was right across the fucking bay from Gotham.
Yeah,
I even addressed this weeks ago. Okay. The fact that they were sister cities are very much just a grander scale of Minneapolis-St. Paul.
They are, though?
No, they're not. They're not. In the comic books, they're not. In the comic not books, even that close. Gotham is in that kind of ass bone of Connecticut.
Yeah. It's an amalgamation Metropolis of Boston and New York. And Metropolis has always
been like a Chicago.
That's what I always pictured it as.
And sometimes I've also seen it more of like an L.A. because it has a
Coast
bay.
City is L.A./Seattle.
Chicago could be a coast city. You got a big lake
I was going to say, Metropolis is a coast city.
But you have to also remember that in the DC universe, these cities are their own cities. They're not cities that already exist.
They've
even said in the comics that DC's Earth is slightly bigger than
Marvel's which is
Earth.
How they can get away with having Metropolis, Gotham, and New York and Chicago.
But then it always bothered me when they were in Metropolis, and then all of a sudden there was, I think what made me not think it was Chicago was when they were in Metropolis, and all of a sudden there's a Statue of Liberty, and you go, okay, you're kind of more of a New York.
Well, in Man of Steel, it really was more of a New York.
Yeah.
So they kind of had a New York and Jersey thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can buy that.
Gotham definitely being the Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we keep interrupting you.
No, that's okay, that's okay. I'm saving the couple of good comments I have for the end, because I definitely want to end on a good note. Poor Holly Hunter.
Oh, right.
Poor Holly Hunter. Yeah. She got so screwed in this movie.
She did. But every time she talked, I just heard Elastigirl.
Yeah, but
I can't.
It doesn't change
really?
The fact that
I was going with Oh Brother, We're Out, though, for some odd reason. I don't know why.
Because I've only seen that movie once and didn't care for it too much. So
that's fair.
But Incredibles.
But but it just Lex Luthor tortures her for an hour and a half and then just straight up kills her. For honestly, I don't feel like good enough reasons. I don't like that he only had one reason, I guess. And that's silly, but whatever.
I don't like that there was a Wally in this movie and his last name wasn't Goddamn West.
Yeah, that was a little irritating.
Holy shit, these grape jelly beans are really good.
Cubs.
Ezra Miller as the Flash.
Hate him.
Okay.
Hate him. I don't know if it's the fact that his face looks like a wiener, that he squints like French Stewart, like the sun is always in his eyes, his fucking stupid face. I don't know. I don't like him.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but that's actually not the point I'm making.
What is his cool Flashpoint thing?
Yeah, his cool Flashpoint thing was neat.
That was like the only dream sequence I liked. I will say that the thing his and I get that it was a dream, but him being lifted up by the bats was super fucking stupid.
Yeah, no, that was awful. I hated that. But all the dream sequences I hated except for the very end. With the Flashpoint moment.
And
like,
telling him that he's
cool.
Right. And,
yeah.
Because obviously they're leading into Darkseid Apocalypse, because he even saw the Darkseid symbols during the dystopian future, which the only part I liked out of that is the cosplay opportunities for that super cool Batman with the trench coat and the gun thing.
Right.
I don't care that I'm fat. I'm going to cosplay the fucking fuck out of that.
There was some guy, there was a group of people that were dressed up before the movie that I saw, and one of them was that futuristic Batman. And you can cosplay, because this guy was bigger than you and he was cosplaying it.
I just feel like the coat will kind of give me that.
Yeah, it'll give you that oomph.
Like I'll still have the abs that are fake on the suit.
Oh, this guy had the fake suit abs, but they weren't like the hard ones. They were like the on the stretchy. I'm like, I just think of a Jim Brewer joke when I'm like, Batman, more like Fat Man. Sorry, I'm a fat guy, but I was just like, buddy, you could do so much better.
The thing does bring me into my next point, which was I hated watching Bruce Wayne click on YouTube videos.
Bruce Wayne didn't click on YouTube videos. Wonder Woman clicked on YouTube
videos.
Wonder Woman
did.
Was it?
Yeah. He was like looking at the icons, he only looked at the YouTube videos of Wonder Woman.
Okay, that's right.
Assume that he looked at them and sent them to her, but see him.
I hate the fact that we were introduced to the Justice League by Wonder Woman looking at YouTube. That was stupid. And now that also aside, each vignette was too long for me, and not, you know, I think they could have easily just played all of them at the same time, or just given us less than 20 seconds of each one.
The only regret I have, now while I loved it, the only regret I have is that the Cyborg one was an origin.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where he deserves a full origin. And I wish I'd just been, you know, big-ass black guy in a cyborg suit. Yeah. Just punching a dude.
That
just
said,
straight through the face. The
cyborg vignette was my favorite.
Oh my god, it was so good!
It was, you know what? I think that's
my perfect. Girlfriend's favorite was Aquaman, for obvious reasons.
For obvious reasons.
She would leave me for him.
She'll leave you for Jason Momoa?
I would leave me for Jason Momoa.
Right?
He's my number two John Stamos. I'm not gonna argue about it.
That's fair. But yeah, no, my thing is, at the end of the day, I didn't like that all that Justice League material was shoehorned into this. It was too long, too unnecessary, and not something I needed for the plot of the film. You could have just simply gone, you could have done just a cryptic, there are others kind of
moment
with Wonder Woman and Batman and moved on.
But at the same time, it's also called Dawn of Justice, so they certainly did want to open up about the much larger universe,
right.
which Man of Steel already did just by showing the Wayne Enterprises.
Yeah.
And the LexCorp stuff, yeah.
Well, not the LexCorp stuff, that's Superman. I'm talking about the Batman stuff.
And to bring it back to the whole uninhabited thing, that was nice. That was ridiculous, but then you put it next to the fact that Batman just straight up murks dudes in the beginning of the movie.
Loved it. God.
Come on. Batman. No, Batman doesn't. But
I thought Batman had a code where he didn't kill people.
This is an older Batman who isn't afraid to drink, who is angry, who is upset. And while I do not like the fact that they shit on the Batman mythos of he doesn't kill, I think he really only did so in very extreme circumstances where he didn't have a much better choice. And I hate to bring it back to this, but earlier that day I watched the Batman one with the Penguin.
Oh, sure. Mm.
And so I couldn't help, like, when he just opens fire with his with the Batmobile gun, I just sat there going, go to sleep. They're going to the special farm. But, so, how much do you have left on your list?
I've got a couple more things here.
Uninterrupted, go.
Yeah. So, Wonder Woman, upskirt. There was a fucking upskirt shot of Wonder Woman, and that bothered the hell out of me.
When?
Like, just immensely bothered the hell out of me. I was irritated that she was
flying off to go punch Doomsday in the dick.
No. She falls on the ground and the lens is focused directly on her crotch.
Yeah.
That was just fucking stupid. Ezra Miller's a douche.
Ezra Miller is a douche.
Yeah. I did not like the bait and switch on the comic storyline. This is the biggest spoiler of the film. Superman dies at the end and it's straight out of Death of Superman.
Yeah.
It's straight out of Death of Superman.
I didn't have a problem with that, actually.
Yeah, but I thought we were getting Dark Knight Returns.
And we got...
We kind of got Dark Knight Returns.
But it's called Dawn. It's called Dawn of Justice.
It's not Death of Justice.
Yeah, but
he's not dead. The dirt starts flying in the end. Spoiler alert.
I know he's not dead, and I hate that.
Why? Because he wasn't dead.
I was okay.
Because I hated the Aftermath storyline from the DC Comics.
But you don't.
That was awful. If they do
the red and blue. I quit. I will concede and fucking quit.
However, if they give us John Henry Irons, I'm going to jerk off.
Oh, no.
Please, God.
Before, during, and after the movie.
I think they might just go with...
And I hope it's Shaq.
That alien robot that took up the
go die in a fire.
I think this is what they're going to do. They're going to go, and I forget the name, but there was an alien Superman after Superman had died, and it was the alien one who came.
No, it was a cyborg one.
There was a cyborg one, but there's also like an alien one who took up the role of Superman for a little while and then brought Superman back to life.
I think it's funny that he just referred him as an alien Superman. Technically, a human Superman would be an alien Superman.
Yeah.
Superman is an alien. Spoiler alert.
It's an alien. And then maybe it was a cyborg one. I forget which one it was. But anyways, it was the one that brought him back to life, and I think they're probably going to go with that.
Okay. finally, I get that it was explained that, you know, Bruce went, I wasn't paying attention. Superman went, I wasn't paying attention. I was too focused. But fucking that old explosives in the wheelchair disguise, classic. Really?
What the fuck did you expect?
I just,
The second I saw Lex turn around that thing, I'm like, oh, somebody's going to get blowed up.
Oh, yeah, no, you could see it coming. It's just, I didn't appreciate that for what it was. Maybe if they had done, like, you know, a paramilitary group coming in, like that one guy.
They wouldn't have gotten into a Senate hearing.
Yeah, it's true. Still, I feel like the security measures at a Senate hearing would still be good enough to catch the fact that there's explosives in this guy's wheelchair. But whatever. That's all my bad stuff. Here's my good stuff. Batfleck, awesome. Surprisingly brilliant, and Jeremy Irons and Ben Affleck had some of the best chemistry in the movie, even more than Affleck and Godot. And I thought that was beautiful.
Agreed. They were perfect Bruce and Alfred.
Perfect Bruce and Alfred. And I liked that we got more ex-SAS Alfred than, you know, charming British gentleman Alfred.
Yeah, we definitely got more of like the year one Alfred, where yeah, he's former military,
former special. I think there was like insignia somewhere. He was wearing the sweater he was wearing. Mm-hmm. Was
commando sweater.
Yeah, the command sweater for special forces. Yeah, that was super cool.
Anybody can wear a command sweater.
Mando
sweater.
But
I have two of them.
I have one as well. But it doesn't change the fact that it was neat. Too little Gal Gadot.
Far too little.
Too little. I wish we had more of her. She was great. And the one thing I really liked from the first movie that came back, Kevin Costner. I really liked him in the first movie, and I thought his cameo in this was
one thing I wish that had come lovely back from the first one that was surprisingly absent in this one was Clark Kent's hairline.
Oh, yeah.
He has definitely lost a little.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that they brought out the curl.
Yeah, I did like the curl.
We got the curl.
We did get the Superman curl, and that was cool. And I'm super excited to see what happens with Darkseid. I hope we get a Darkseid. I hope Justice League does Darkseid storyline.
I was also confused about what I didn't like is that it seems like everything in those cities are graffitied. So at the end, when they show the big tomb for Superman, everybody's holding up their candles and blah, 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 and they show the memorial.
The panel for panel remake of Death of Superman?
Right.
Yeah,
and I was okay.
Nice, actually. I liked that.
I was okay, well, except they didn't have the big giant statue of him yet. But they had the big Superman symbol there, and they're like, if you want to see, I think it was like spray painted or chalked on there, like, if you want to see the Superman's memorial, look around you or something like that, it's all around you. And I'm like,
yeah.
Is that supposed to be a slam, or is it supposed to be...
No, that was the people. That was hope.
Okay.
Was it?
Yeah.
But or it could have been like, look at the damage he did. I mean, he caused all this. That's kind of like it was a bit of a
cryptic message
to me. I took it as like, because it was written in graffiti, you know, like it was graffitied already. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. And then the thing with the bat suit.
Just like BB-8's lighter.
Right.
Was it a thumbs up or was it a middle finger?
I think you're right. Right.
Good point.
And then
Superman's monument, look around you. Is it the people or is it the destruction? Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I just got tinglies.
My nipples just got hard.
Oh, totally.
And then the Batman thing with the haha, this joke's on you. I didn't.
They needed a touch base. That was Jason Todd's suit. This is the first time he's been acknowledged as a character in any live action format. Yep. Or any so, format.
And I didn't read a lot of Batman. Time. Jason Todd, I'm assuming, died somewhere, and then by the Joker.
He became the Red Hood.
We'll have a talk after the podcast. We'll talk about Jason
Todd. But just briefly, I'm assuming the Joker did that? And
He was killed not just by the Joker, but he was killed by the American people. Back in the 80s, they put out a comic series called Death in the Family.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, Jason Todd, who is becoming very much the brooding, angry, rebellious teen, is starting to act out more in his Robin duty. He was the second Robin right after Dick.
Oh, yeah, there's an R in there. There's an R in the suit.
Yes, so that is the Robin suit. And so it's Jason's Robin suit. And he
gets
off to
by
the
Joker
when trying to find his mother because he finds out she's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And Joker kidnaps her and uses her as bait, but she thinks she's working for him, but really he's just trying to do his Joker thing. So he captures them both, locks them in a room with a bomb after beating Robin senseless with a crowbar in one of the disturbing scenes in comic books.
Yeah.
Just giving it to him.
And then cliffhangers the comic book and says, puts at the end, now you decide, audience, and leaves a 1-800 number.
I remember this.
And people are like, kill that motherfucker.
Yeah, like 4-1, it was like, kill Jason Todd.
And
I remember this.
And they
now.
Said it was the darkest moment in comic books where the American people killed Robin, and so they blow him the fuck up.
Yeah. I do remember this.
He's
now.
He's later brought back with the Lazarus Pits. There's a hush thing. It's all
and
very
then there's a Red Hood That's, thing, and it's really good. Actually, I thought that made him better.
I think they're actually going to bring
basically
up
basically DC's Punisher.
Yeah.
I think they're going to bring the Lazarus Pits up. I think that's how they're going to resurrect Superman, to be honest with you.
Well, no, because God, he was I think he's just going to heal.
No, well, maybe.
I think he's going to do his...
There's no yellow sun down there in 6 feet under. I'm just saying.
No, he's going to do his stupid fucking thing from the comic books where he essentially just looks at... Like, he finds Lois and they talk for a minute and he says, oh, no, I didn't really die... Just Kryptonians take a much longer time to heal from fatal wounds.
I kind of hope they do a Superman 2 where he lost his power, so he comes back as a human and he has to go read it. No, maybe not.
And he turns into a total wad, and you hate every second of what you're watching.
Yeah, maybe not.
That was the
maybe
worst not. Part of that movie.
Yep.
It was like Peter Parker when he turns normal, and the only part that sucked in Spider-Man 2.
It's true. Yeah. I really hope they figure out some interesting way to bring Superman back instead of following the comic book storyline, because that was awful. It's dumb. It's nonsensical. And one of the many
Red
reasons I hate Superman.
And blue.
John Henry Irons.
Yes.
Played by Shaq.
No.
No.
Yes.
No. They tried to do that. It was called...
I know really they did that.
Shitty fucking movie.
I know. It was called Steel, and it was
played
awful.
Played by the guy who plays the Angel Lucifer.
Mm.
Por favor.
Played by Giancarlo Esposito?
Who?
What? Oh, God. Hang on. I have to show you this. Okay. Giancarlo
Fair
Esposito.
Enough. So while you're doing that, it is now my turn.
All right.
Kevin gets his turn.
You liked it.
I liked it.
I know.
A lot. But I didn't go in expecting to like it. I went in still a little. I'm like, oof, I don't know what we're going to get here. But I liked it. I was... But I also liked Man of Steel, and I know you didn't. But that therein lies the problem, is you went in without even the remote chance of having your mind changed. And that is not the way to go into something. Nope.
That's true.
Nope. And
no, you're right.
And the problem is that I will give anything, even if it's something I vehemently don't like, I will always give something the chance to change my mind. I don't like One Direction, but Story of My Life is a kind of catchy song, and I kind of like it. I will always give sucky artists the chance to turn themselves around and say, hey, I don't entirely suck. Waiting on you, Justin Bieber. You're still a piece of shit.
He has a song out right now. You can go and love yourself. That one is super catchy, and I really like it.
I hate you so much right now.
I hated myself when I found out it was Bieber.
It's fair. It's fair. But I went in going... If this sucks, I will say it sucks. If it's good, I'll say it's good. Was it perfect? No. Was that everything we wanted? No. And I don't think it could have ever lived up to what anyone could have ever wanted.
No,
and the reason
true.
Why is that with all these, and I was telling Nick this earlier, with
By
all
the way,
of these.
This is Giancarlo Esposito.
Yes, I will accept this.
Yeah.
With characters like Iron Man and Thor, there are a lot of people who don't know who they are. And so we get this fresh take. On these characters. And I'm not saying, obviously, the nerds, but I mean the general public. Mm-hmm. But the problem with Batman and Superman is everyone on planet Earth knows who they are.
Uh-huh.
People
in third world countries could see the red and yellow diamond S and go, Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem, is that there is no way that this movie could have done right. I mean, the Deadpool, also a shining example.
Okay.
People don't know it, so they don't have the expectation. When you have this expectation, you set yourself up to be disappointed. Now, there was a lot of things that did wrong. Yes, it cut too much, but it was also I also know a lot had to be cut. And it's also a huge movie, and there were some things that were in it that maybe shouldn't have been in it. It suffered a little bit from Harry Potter 3 syndrome.
Yep.
Yeah, where the story was too big to put on screen.
Where I also know that... That Zack Snyder also had a problem of putting in too many things that were for the hardcore audience that people wouldn't understand. The Jason Todd suit being a shining example.
I'm actually really surprised you didn't know that.
I forgot about that story. You started talking about it, I got it and I remembered it.
Yeah. Well, and I saw it in like the trailer that had that was awesome. And
I didn't I see like, the didn't see the R. As observant as I am, I didn't see the R. Right. I took it. I thought I saw a bat symbol in the center.
I had that as my cover page on Facebook for a while. So yeah. Definitely something I was painfully aware of. Mm-hmm. But I liked it. I thought, again, Ben Affleck, I was amazed.
This is something we all agree on.
Ben Affleck was amazed at how good of a Batman he was. It was nice seeing Batman in gray for the first time since the 1960s.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I was wondering why they put him back in the full cowl where he could barely turn his neck, so he had to do a lot of the...
Oh, I didn't hate that. I'm okay with that.
Because it never really came up that he couldn't turn his neck. No, because for the first time ever, we got Batman who was able to fight at the speed and ferocity of Batman. Now, I will concede that sometimes it was a little too ferocious. But to finally see Batman throw kicks to spin dudes, he used that grapple thing to spin the one dude around and hit the other fucking dude. I was like, fuck yes, this is Batman. God, fuck, shit.
Kevin got
me. I will concede that to you because I agree, actually. I was surprised as hell.
I was rock hard.
I was surprised in hell and joyfully surprised at that. At how good Batman was in this. I did not expect him to be very good at all. And the fact that he was, not just that he was capable, but that he was like the standout thing for me in this movie. Like, he was the best thing about this movie for me.
I would only honestly change one thing.
Okay.
And that is, while I think Superman had to be a little more serious in the first one, because he was getting to know himself still,
right.
He was far too serious in this one. The problem point of Batman versus Superman. It is brooding darkness versus optimism.
Yeah.
Optimism. I don't know why I said that. Super weird.
Optimism.
But in this, we had a dark and brooding Batman who was still ridiculously charming and endearing, even out of the bat suit, going up against a dark and brooding Superman.
It didn't make sense.
There's no conflict there. Now, I didn't mind the whole Martha is the turnaround. I didn't mind it because this is something my buddy Blake and I talked about earlier. They took an amusing trope of, you know, from back in the unoriginality in the 1930s and turned it into, you know, something these two can stop for a second.
Yeah, but it's still one of those, like, I saw a great meme of, it's a picture of Superman, it's the three panel post, it's a picture of Superman going, Martha, and then Ben Affleck's Batman going, huh? And then the bottom picture is a picture of John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell from Step Brothers going, what? Did we just become best friends?
Yup.
Yup.
Yup. I actually thought of that exact same.
Yeah. That's what I thought of when I saw that, too.
And, goddamn brilliant.
And I was just like, yep, that's exactly what just happened. And that is how I feel about that moment. Look, I thought it was too fast of a turnaround. I really do.
And I think Kevin and I talked on this briefly right before you walked in. And
okay.
I think the Marvel verse has had 12 fucking movies to explain all of their characters and to put them all together and blah, blah, blah. And I feel that what they tried to do here was take something they probably could have done over a lot amount of movies
that
and
idea
crammed it into, and just cram it into one fucking movie.
They had to introduce the Batman to the universe. And while, of course, everybody knows the story of Batman, they still can't just bring him in and expect you to know.
So the Jason Todd suit, and I wanted to mention this before, but the Jason Todd suit is practically like one of the only references to Batman having been Batman 20 years ago. I felt like, anyways. Am I wrong? But I feel like that was like one of the only times it's really mentioned. Otherwise, people are going, it's this new superhero, the Bat of Gotham. And it's just like, but he's not new. He's clearly old.
I always kind of figured that every time they were talking about him, it was just the whole he's back kind of thing. Like, they even... I think there was even a newspaper or something where he's back and the whole branding thing.
Super dark for Batman.
Right. I was
super dark. And I like the fact that
I was confused by that. I'm like, why is he branding people? Why did they start?
I don't know.
Because they've never done that in a comic book.
Yeah, no, I didn't like it because it was never explained. That was my problem.
And see, here's the thing: is I can take a lot of things that aren't explained because I know there's going to be more, and so I'm like, oh well, they're going to explain this later. Like, case in point, Luke Skywalker's mother fucking lightsaber in Force Awakens.
Force Awakens, yeah.
I'm hearing a lot of people who didn't complain about that complain about things that weren't explained in this one. Like the whole his building being on, you know, basically in ruins. And that, I assume, they're going to touch base on in probably Suicide Squad. Because I'm gathering and what it appears to be is that all of the villains are going to have a how Batman caught them.
Oh, or how somebody caught them.
Scene. Well, I'm assuming for the most part Batman.
Interesting.
And that's kind of what I'm gathering from that is it's going to be, and I'm hoping that it touches base on, obviously, the building was blown up by Mr. J, so.
Right.
So, I'm a little sad that there wasn't a little more Joker in it. The fact that the whole you let your family die thing, which I thought was going to be a reference to the Joker, ended up being Lex.
Yeah.
My hat go after I threw it in my little Batman tantrum.
It's right there. And actually, that the whole Joker thing and Suicide Squad thing brings up something I wanted to mention. I went to this movie with all of our good mutual friend Sean Beveridge, and we walked out of the movie, and he looked at me and said, you know, and he walked in expecting, not having expectations for Batman v Superman, and he walked out going, yeah, that wasn't very good. So I know I'm right, I just know that, but I understand that my viewpoint is biased on that. So the thing is, but we walked out of the movie, and he said, you know, this movie makes me really, really nervous for Suicide Squad. I'm like, really? Because this just pumps me up, because it still looks better. Like, I'm excited for Suicide Squad, because I'm excited to get a good DC movie for once. And he goes, well, yeah, but I'm like, Suicide Squad's definitely going to be better than this. And he says one of the best lines I've ever heard in my life. He goes, well, yeah, but a punch in the stomach is better than a kick in the nuts, but they're both unpleasant. To which I was like, huh, yeah, I'm stealing that.
Well, you're also ignoring the Nolan,
right?
You say no good DC movies.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I mean, Batman for the past 20 years has been his own thing. They've tried to make Superman movies. Superman Returns. Woof.
That's my favorite one. What are you talking about? I couldn't hold that face. I'm sorry.
Okay. I seriously considered making a shank out of this Burger King cup.
That was awful.
Yeah, no, but aside from Batman, we haven't had a good DC movie, and that's what I mean. Like, I don't. When I say DC movie, I mean a DC Universe film, not a Batman film, not a Superman film, the DC Universe film. And we haven't had one.
And we also haven't had many.
Well, we had Steel, and that was brilliant, but
I
couldn't hold that face. We had Steel.
We had Green Lantern.
Yep.
Don't.
We had all of the failed attempts at a Wonder Woman TV show. What else? Oh, we had the failed Aquaman TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I've watched that pilot. It's not as bad as people think it is.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Really?
Except that it stars the first Oliver Queen.
Yeah, instead of Alan Richardson. Yeah. He has a weird last name.
Yeah.
Raphael from Ninja Turtles, like it should have.
Yeah, yeah.
Slash Thad from Blue Mountain State.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've watched Rise of Thadland. Anyone who... So, Blue Mountain State was this football movie on Spike TV that was the worst, best thing
ever.
It's funny, and it's... There's, like, you see football maybe once. It's mostly just about boobs and partying.
Yeah.
And mojitos. Well, the movie basically starts out as a kids save the rec center kind of movie.
Okay.
Evolves into a college best party of all time movie. And then kind of more...
Ends as a spy flick?
No, ends in like a end of all sanity. Like destruction and drug bender and...
Oh, okay. So sort of it ends with the Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And you see... anyone who's watched How I Met Your Mother knows that the guy who plays... his name is Romansky. And that's just his name. I have a feeling it's his last name, but he just goes by it in any of his credits.
Oh, okay.
But he plays Punchy in How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, he's the producer, one of the producers and writers of How I Met Your Mother, and he's one of the producers and writers, and he stars in Blue Mountain State as the mascot and slash best friend of the main character.
Oh, okay.
Well, in this movie, you see his dick in a lot of it. Just so much of his dick. It's just 100% his penis, which he's super proud of, and I don't really know why. Because I don't know if it was a prosthetic, because it wasn't as floppy as a flaccid penis should be, but just you just get an eyeful. Like, he fights a dude while naked, and it's just more so than Ryan Reynolds could have ever given you in Deadpool. It's just his dick.
Right. Which I appreciated that we saw a hell of a lot of Ryan Reynolds' penis in Deadpool.
I get that.
Yeah.
But no, I admit that it was not perfect. I admit that it wasn't outstanding. It wasn't great. It was good. It wasn't good enough.
No,
but it was entertaining, and it's something I would happily watch again. Because getting a live action version of Superman and Batman punching each other in the face is not something I'm gonna get sick of.
Can I have a fan edit of it in which it's a streamlined version of that storyline so that we get a hell of a lot more Batman v Superman and a lot less of the political shit and all the unnecessary Justice League stuff? I mean, you might even have to remove Wonder Woman, which would be a travesty, but at least we'd get... I feel like I would really enjoy a streamlined version of that movie. So I think that's true.
I found the answer that I was looking for.
Okay.
From an earlier thing where we were talking about the TK421. Yes, that was Lex Luthor's number in the movie. It was 16-TK421. And this is saying, yeah, it was. That was the first thing I saw. How did you guys not pick up on that?
I saw the TK, but he was always hidden by like a bar or something.
Yeah, right. There was the very first when he's getting his head shaved. It just says TK421. I'm like,
I was paying too much attention to his face.
So, yeah.
Sorry, I'm not just looking at his chest the entire time, you sexist pig. Fucking A.
Fuck. My eyes are up here, guys. My eyes are up here.
We have come such a long way for you to drag us back, Nick.
I'm going to bash you over the head.
Yeah, Wonder Woman's crotch shot.
Yeah. So anyways.
No. I hated that because it was awful. Because both Sean and I like turned our heads to look at it and went, did we just? Yeah, we totally just did that. I feel horrible.
Anyways, apparently it was kind of the back and forth between Superman and The Force Awakens, because J.J. Abrams hid a Batmobile on the Millennium Falcon. I don't know if any of you ever saw that video.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know that he hid it. I just never saw it.
So it's their jab back at Force Awakens by throwing that number on there. So that was its media crossover. It appears this way. Only the in-jokes made it to the film. So
what you're saying is the next Star Wars film should have somebody saying the phrase "distinguished competition," because I
hope somebody in the
personally that's my favorite joke from the comics.
Well, and
anytime there's an editor's note in a Marvel book, they always refer to DC as the distinguished competition.
Right, and I was always curious by why J.J. Abrams put a Batmobile. I remember I thought I knew this, but I forgot why he put it on there.
If I recall, it's just because he's a gigantic nerd.
Oh, is that what it was? But see, like with like the Star Wars ones, like you wouldn't have, if they would have never shown you that video of the close-up of the Batmobile on the Millennium Falcon, you would have never known it was there.
Yeah, and I don't remember seeing that video.
I'm sad that you didn't
That's right.
I'm sad that you didn't get the previews, because there was an extended version of the Ghostbusters trailer that managed to actually make it look really, really fucking worse.
Are you talking about the Red Band trailer that I posted on the last one where they show?
No, I saw the trailers, and I got the Ghostbusters trailer
with Thor drawing the new Ghostbusters symbol, and she has huge tits.
That was
the only part I liked.
That's part of the Red Band trailer.
Is it?
Yeah,
it's part of the international trailer.
Trailer. Sorry.
No. Yeah, and this trailer is sort of a mix of the international and the U.S. trailer. Thankfully, they removed Leslie Jones's super fucking racist moment of her slapping Melissa McCarthy around, going, "The power of Penny compels you." Like, oh Patty. My god, whatever. I don't care.
Who cares?
I don't give a shit.
It was funny when I was waiting in line, because the line was way out of the movie theater where I saw it, and out the hallway and whatever. When we were waiting to get in, because 93X oversold the theater.
Of course it did.
What?
They would do that?
Anyways, so as we're standing there, what movie poster is right the fuck there where we're standing? But it's a Ghostbusters one, when it's just like Patty, it's like from her, probably about her chin to about the top of her boobs, and she's holding like a, like you can probably tell it's either the proton pack or whatever, but you just see the little necklace that says Patty, and I'm just like, really, this is the movie poster I have to be standing by?
Yeah. I really like Leslie Jones. She's
I do too, but it's just
she's a really capable actress.
It's the movie. It's just that the movie was that I just oops, I just knocked the microphone.
Wow.
I got excited and knocked the microphone. So if you hear a big thud, that was my thumb.
Yeah, it was.
I was just upset that I had to be that close to a Ghostbusters movie poster.
I'm still cautious about it, but I'm not.
I'm thinking bad things already.
More, it's going to be bad, and I wish it wasn't.
I'm going to give it the chance to change my mind.
I'm going to go see it.
I'm going in a little more negative than I went into Batman versus Superman, but it's hard for me to not be excited about anything Batman. It really is.
No, and I know. And you know what? In my personal opinion, I think you were completely vindicated for this movie in regards to Batman.
I was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good God, he was great.
Everything else, I did not like. I went into Batman and Robin as a child so excited. And you know how hard it is for a kid to not like an action movie? It's almost impossible. And I came out of that wanting to hang myself.
Wow.
Not literally, of course, but just like I really felt my hero was just dead to me. I came out of that movie probably the way you came out of Batman versus Superman.
I came out of Batman versus Superman going, I would have waited till DVD for that. However, Batman was great. I really genuinely thought Batman was great.
And that was my pause at the beginning when I said, if you haven't seen it, I just wanted to be like, don't pay money to, because my tickets were free, and I'm glad I didn't actually have to pay
for
the movie.
I'm glad I didn't pay money.
And I hate saying that about movies, because I do like going to movies, and I do want to support, you know.
Pay money to see it.
Right.
Because if you pay money to see it, then that means that, A, you're being a legal person, not pirating movies and being a piece
of
shit.
Well, yeah, I mean.
B, it means that it's just another chance for them to continue on what is at least a good start on an established universe that they can hopefully fix their mistakes.
It's a start.
I don't want to lose this Wonder Woman. I don't.
No. Oh God, yeah.
We need this Wonder Woman.
We do.
We need Gal Gadot, and we need Ben.
And have you seen the photo of
no.
Why not?
Because I think if they can just tell him to cheer the fuck up, he'll be perfect.
Yeah,
he looks like Superman so much.
So okay, was it just me or was he just very angry? The angriest Superman ever. Like
the only
Superman's
time he wasn't
not supposed
angry
to be angry.
Is when he just gave it to Lois and gave it to her right.
Right.
Yeah.
In the bathtub.
Oh yeah,
there
was a little bit of Lois nudity in this.
A little bit. She kind of
jumped around a bit, and there was.
And I don't want to.
I was surprised.
And I don't want to say that I got in for free or somebody else paid for. I'm saying that my friend won the tickets to a pre-screening through 93X, the local rock station.
And my friend paid.
Go
for the
see
tickets.
It on like a Tuesday when the tickets are super cheap. If
or go during the day if you're a college student, use your college. You know.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Wait
a couple weeks for the $2 theater.
Yeah, but I
say see it, go with an open mind. If you dislike it, you dislike it. But don't go in saying, this is going to suck.
But
I'm robbed.
But on the same token.
Fuck yourself. That's what
I but on the same token, I think you're right, Kevin. I think that it's opening the door to what they needed.
Yeah.
They needed to cram all the shit in to open the door for the rest of the other movies, to open it for Don.
They do. And
I actually have an open mind towards Justice League now, though. Because the little vignettes, while I thought unnecessary for this film.
Oh God, Cyborg.
Right?
I want you inside me. Jesus.
You don't get this anymore.
Microphone's up. Give him his microphone.
No! Take his microphone away! I thought the little vignettes with Aquaman looked great. But too long of a vignette. Flash, his stupid long hair and his stupid brown.
Kind of creepy. Why was he hanging out in a ship though? That was kind of my thing.
Ooh, Aquaman.
Why is it just like all of a sudden he's creepy? Then he's got flashy eyes, and then
Flash, his stupid long brown hair and his stupid smirk and his stupid douchey Ezra Miller face.
I don't think,
but. Cyborg looked great. Also, I hope we get Silas Stone. I hope we get his dad because I like that actor. That actually boosted my hopes for a Justice League movie because while I considered them unnecessary and long, they were hopeful for me.
Was there anything?
It made me feel good about what a Justice League movie
was. Was there anything post-credits? I didn't
know.
No, there was no post-credit.
No. And the other thing is, I'm really hopeful for Justice League because it's not being touched by Zack Snyder. Yeah. It's Ben Affleck directing.
Well,
and he's proved his chops.
Gone Girl, Argo.
And that's exactly why I want you to go see this movie. I mean, it's already broken a couple of records. It did very, very well this weekend.
BVS?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it'll get the green light. It's the highest pre-selling superhero movie of all time.
Really? More than Deadpool?
More than Deadpool. Wow. More than Deadpool. That's more impressive. Than
I don't think Avengers. I don't think it'll beat Deadpool, though.
No.
No, because it'll drop off next weekend.
Probably.
I think that's absolutely what's
going to happen. I'll give it to the week after, but yeah, it's going to drop off fairly
quickly. It's going
to
drop off
The reviews will scare people.
Right, it will. But the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, because it's only, 35-40% like there? 30%.
And this is what I said earlier.
And I was going to just really quickly before I forget it, but did you see the new photo of the it's Wonder Woman and the Amazons?
The Wonder Woman photo, yes.
And the Amazons? Oh, my God. That's a movie I want to see. Again.
Facebook not long ago.
Yeah.
Again, talking about, you know, badass women where they're strong, powerful, and kick-ass, and I want to see it because
Pine is Steve Trevor. That's who I was trying to think of the other day. It's Steve Trevor. Yeah. That's the name of the character.
So I had read an article earlier today, and it was basically him tearing apart the movie, saying...
him who?
This journalist who...
Him his name, from Powerpuff
His
Girls.
Name is... Who gives a shit?
Mr. Who gives
but
a shit.
But basically he said that it didn't have a single redeemable quality.
That's not true. And I will absolutely fight him on that.
And this is what I said. I'm like, he lost me as being a reasonable person with, quote, without any redeeming qualities, end quote. This is the sure sign of a fucking crybaby who didn't get his way. If you couldn't find one thing to enjoy in this movie, be it Wonder Woman, two dudes punching each other in the face, Looney Lex, the car, literally anything, then you went into that movie with the explicit desire and goal to hate it, letting absolutely nothing change your mind about that, and that makes you a poor excuse of both a critic and a journalist, and it's just a fucking piss poor human being thing to do. It was far from perfect, but entertaining at the very least.
Yeah,
it was entertaining, and I will
say it didn't have a single redeemable quality is bullshit.
And you know what?
Because Gal Gadot was there. Yeah. I saw her with my eyes,
and she was lovely. But yeah, and I will admit, I definitely walked into the movie, as you say, intending to hate it. But luckily I went in with just enough of an open mind to go, okay, I still didn't like it, but there are good parts about it.
There are. And I think there are
good parts about it. But if you can't find one good part in a movie, you're not doing it right. There's got to be like one part of a movie that you like.
Speaking of Walking Dead, Lauren Cohan was Martha Wayne.
Yeah. Cohen was Martha. She was
Maggie.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, Maggie.
Maggie was Martha Wayne, and the comedian was Thomas.
Yes, I was gonna say, Jeffrey Dean Morgan was
Jeffrey
Thomas
Dean.
Wayne.
Yeah, it's just that I'm like, oh, we were just talking about him. That's hilarious.
Yeah,
hilarious.
Although they gave Michael Shannon the credit for Zod, although he was just probably a foam dummy.
I was gonna say that was just a foam dummy, wasn't it?
But it was still his likeness, so they still gotta give him.
Plus,
they showed snippets of him alive fighting Superman.
That's right.
Right.
You gotta give him credit. But also, I mean, the fact that they used his likeness for his character, and the fact that they did use his facial model for Doomsday, you could see bits of.
I suppose they would have to.
You can see bits of him in there.
Here's my question. They have to still
give him credit.
Did they use him as the motion capture? Because that would be really cool if they did.
I don't know the answer to that question.
I'd love to know.
We'd probably have to look at.
If they used him for the motion capture, high five for him for getting another paycheck.
Right?
And then also,
I'm assuming the scenes with Barbara Gordon were cut too. And there is no Gordon.
There was no Gordon in there.
There was no.
J. Jonah Jameson as Commissioner Gordon was not in it yet.
Because he hadn't been cast yet.
And it's still technically just rumor that she's Barbara Gordon, but that's what everybody said.
Right.
But I thought it was supposed to be in this movie that she was.
She was.
We're
going to
get a director's cut of this movie, and it's going to be 4.5 hours long, and it's going to be worse than
And here's the deal.
I'm going to make a reference here.
I'm going to make a reference here. So there were parts that I had lots and lots of questions of in this movie, but if I got a director's cut and explained the movie a la like Lord of the Rings, The extended versions are way better than theatrical, because to me
Gandalf, which way is Mordor? Left or right? Left. Best part of the extended edition, hands down, 100%. I will watch that scene alone 1,000 times.
That was in the theater.
That was not.
No, it was not in the theater.
Extended edition.
That was extended.
No, I don't think so. I think it was in the theater.
Oh. Yep.
Anyways, my point is that. My point is that after I saw the extended version of all of them, I felt that I understood them a lot better, and I understood the world a lot better.
I felt sleepy because it was a very long stretch.
I'm okay with the long stretches, except for the end of... I had the same problem.
Them in a row.
Well, that was stupid of you.
Good for you.
That must have been
awful.
That's like a whole day.
Yeah, it sure was.
My buddy... recently decided that he was going to do a Middle Earth marathon.
No, it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Including The Hobbit?
Yep, all of them.
Oh,
all of them.
Bad idea.
All of the extended editions of The Hobbit. 36, all of the extended. Nine,
that's 18. That's 20 hours of movie.
It was 22 hours and 38 minutes, I believe.
Well, hello.
Oh,
whose butt is that?
Just, you know, some girl.
Some random butt.
Just some random butt?
But my point
is... bat phone.
My point is...
What?
Oh, there was a bat phone? There was a phone in that photo?
Of course he did. Her butt was in it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
My point is that if there was a director's cut, I would pay money, buy it, watch it, just so I can better understand the parts that I have questions about in the movie. And I would hope that it would explain a lot more rather than being just putting stuff in for the hardcore fans, the fanboys, if you will.
Sure.
So, final opinion, all in all, I didn't hate it. I was okay with it. It was a good action flick. But beyond that, and actually Ben Affleck did awesome, and Wonder Woman was brilliant looking, and the fight scenes were good. But beyond that, it's not much more to it for me.
Okay. Final opinion, you should probably go pay money for this. Not because of this movie, because you will probably dislike it, but for a Justice League movie directed by Ben Affleck, that's what I think.
It will do the comics justice. Asshole.
Mic drop.
Bottom line, I know it wasn't perfect, but I found it goddamn entertaining. I liked it a lot, and I would see it again, and I will pay money for when it comes out on DVD. And was there any better moment than when Wonder Woman and Superman were beating the shit out of Doomsday and Batman was just standing there like, well, fuck me. What am I going to do?
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I would say if you just fall asleep during the parts of the movie in the beginning that don't have Ben Affleck and Jeremy Irons, you'll be fine.
I did feel a little like when we saw that first preview where Superman takes a punch and Batman blocks it. I felt a little cheated to find out that he was because he was weakened by the kryptonite thing, and I was like,
oh yeah,
I was like,
that wasn't just his power armor, or
right?
Cool,
I was really hoping
right.
It was the armor.
I hope it was too. And clearly, Superman still had the majority of his power. But he was just maybe like 75%.
I still thought it was cool. I thought it was a good explanation because I mean even with a power armor, if Superman was coming at him with the thunder, he still probably.
Clearly, throughout the fight, you could see.
But the look on Superman's face when he started, he was like, "What the fuck just happened?"
Right. Well, when you look at the armor too, you can see, you know, as the fight progresses, you can see it getting damaged to shit.
Well, yeah, after the fight's over, he's missing half the damn thing.
Right.
And then he just majestically changes into his other suit.
Right.
Where the
God
fuck
for that.
Did that come
and
from?
And did I miss
he
it?
He had a spare in the plane.
I mean, that's what I would do.
You're right.
Or he just took the helmet off. Did I miss it, or did... When did Superman realize that Batman was Bruce Wayne? Because sometimes he calls him.
Oh,
at some point he calls him Bruce.
He figures like,
it at the
out
end.
Really early on in the fucking movie when
did
he's
he?
Listening in on Bruce Wayne's conversations with Alfred while they're wandering through Lex's party.
Am I the only one who hopes? And I this would be such a weird like side character.
You want an Alfred movie?
No, I want the.
Oh God, yes! I want a Jeremy Irons Alfred movie.
I want
fighter.
a young Alfred.
I want the fighter that Bruce Wayne was backing to either be John Stewart or Batwing.
Oh yeah,
what?
That'd be cool.
The black fighter in the
right.
underground ring when he was trying to find that stupid Serbian dickhead.
KG Beast, by the way.
Yes,
that was fucking KG Beast from the comics. Anatoly Knezin.
Yes.
So
all in all, I think we all agree, go see it. Just if not...
No, we don't all agree. I say go see it so you can get a good Justice League movie
like
we
deserve.
We're
still agreeing that we're saying go see it.
We're
just for different
reasons.
We're saying go see it so that you can
For whatever reason, you go see
you can better under you can better understand the movies that will follow.
I never thought I would say this in my life. Go see this movie and support Ben Affleck.
Right?
Affleck.
No, you're right.
Right?
Okay, all right.
Again, the most surprising thing about this movie for me, fucking Ben Affleck. He was so good, and it actually raises my hopes for Jared Leto now.
Yeah.
Because if Ben Affleck can be good in this, Jared Leto sure shit can be great as the Joker.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Best threesome ever. Two
correlate, but whatever.
Episode, this is going to be a long episode, but I don't know. That's fine.
We had a lot to talk
about. Superman, Batman. It's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Flash of the Titans.
I was thinking of Robot Owl all of a sudden.
Gods of Egypt.
Ugh.
Fucking stop. All right, here we go.
Percy Jackson and the whatever.
The first one was good.
The movie? Yeah.
Yeah.
The first Percy Jackson was a great movie.
I'm reading the Norse version of those books right now. They're very good.
Anyway. All right, anyways.
Yeah. I'll show you later.
Yeah, okay.
All right, I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
I'm Kevin.
And this has been the best threesome ever. Do 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 do.
If it's the last one, why are we so clothed?
Views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not necessarily reflect the views of men everywhere.